Hey, this is Ryan Dawson of the ANC Report. With me today is Mr. Doug Valentine. Mr. Valentine is a historian, an author, and a poet with an indispensable knowledge on the CIA. And I'm going to be asking him tonight about their role in Ukraine and in infiltrating the media. Mr. Valentine, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
I found something snooping around I want to ask you about. From this organization with NGOs in Ukraine. And it's called the United Action Center. And I want to read something short from their page, a claim they're making, and get your thoughts. It says, the NGO Center UA has a strong professional and human potential. The team has experience of running the projects in the sphere of European and Euro-Atlantic integration. At the same time, the Center UA consists of experts and activists who have experience in journalism, public service, PR, public activities, etc. Also, the Center UA has extensive database of contracts with international experts, politicians, and journalists. There's some red flags there. On the moment, the Center UA is the coordinator of the New Citizen Public Campaign, which brings together around 40 NGOs. Now, we know from the Carl Bernstein report on the media how much the CIA has infiltrated the media. But could you talk or give your thoughts about the Center UA and what they're doing here with 40 NGOs supposedly to promote democracy and have activists and experienced journalists working together?
Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, as your listeners probably know, the Center UA is the organization that Pierre Omidyar funded. And 2 years ago, he gave, he actually funded 36% of its budget, which was $500,000. And so he gave about $200,000 to put this committee or whatever you might want to call it. It's not even a non-governmental organization itself. It's some kind of entity that exists somewhere. I don't know that it has offices anywhere, but it certainly brings together a lot of people, perhaps through the internet. It may have offices somewhere. You have to go to the website. You might want to, in terms of putting this thing itself into context, ask why would a guy whose family came out of Iran after the Shah was overthrown, and his family was very close to the Shahs and that whole regime, Savak, which was basically an extension of the CIA and the Mossad, and the CIA very big operations in Iran. Why a guy like Omidyar would want to spend $200,000 to put this kind of an organization in place? Well, obviously, it's sugar daddies like him that provide the funding for these kind of organizations. Entrepreneurs, people who have billions of dollars, and they have a lot of extra money to spend. And they're not doing it, even though they say out of the basic goodness of their heart, to install democratic mechanisms in foreign countries. They're doing it for their own benefit, to advance their economic interests. And that's what this kind of an organization, why it's created and basically what it does and why it coordinates 40 other NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which also all provide cover for economic and political operations, the kind that the CIA conducts. But it's not just the CIA. As the United Action Center indicates, it has people from public service, international experts, politicians, journalists, and PR people. And these people are all involved in information. If you look at their titles and the kind of jobs that they have, What they're involved in doing basically is controlling information. PR people will
Propaganda.
take a candidate, who's up for election, and guys like guys who run campaigns for American politicians, when there's no American political cycle going on, their public relations firms will hire out people overseas. The people that you see talking on TV on Sunday morning or on MSNBC, political experts, PR people, and they'll hire themselves out to politicians in the Ukraine, and they'll craft them in how to make a how to bring their how to fundraise and how to present themselves in such a way that they become electable. And the journalists in these organizations will report on the politicians, and they work with the PR people, and they'll report in such a way that Pierre Omidyar, who's funding their operations, will be happy. And this means that they will be following a party line. They'll be following a particular ideology, and that ideology is expressed in the UA Center.
Well, Pierre
It's
Omidyar, we've heard his name before.
to get the Ukraine out of the Russian orbit and into the orbit of the Western corporations. And so that is exactly how, if you look at what their little short paragraph is, all these people find that they have common interests, and that they have the same funding sources, and that those funding sources have an ideology, and the ideology is to make money and to push competitors away. And this is basically the role that the CIA plays in this, is as doing the things that have to be done in secret. There's parts of these operations that can't be done publicly, can't be done by public service people or international experts or politicians or journalists. There's parts of this whole apparatus, this foreign policy apparatus that involves all these kinds of things, that has to be done secretly because it's illegal. And this is where the CIA comes into play. If a politician's, even in the United States, you win elections through negative campaigning. And everybody knows this. And so in the Ukraine now, where you have billionaire entrepreneurs like Omidyar trying to break into their markets and funding these kind of cover organizations, you have a lot of negative campaigning going on. And some of that negative campaigning, if you think about it here in the United States, can be done simply by hurling false accusations against people, playing against the race card or this card or that card, smearing people in a million different ways, none of which is secret, all of which involves, again, collecting information on people. In the United States, when we have elections, the Democratic Party hires private investigators to go out and get dirty information on Republican candidates, and the Republicans do the same thing. And then you see that information in a TV ad. So-and-so wrote on his job application that he was an American Indian, and therefore he got accepted got a job because he was a minority, and actually he's not an American Indian or something like that. There's just all sorts of ways of doing this kind of negative campaigning and influencing events without it being illegal. What the CIA does is it gets information and intelligence illegally, which helps to advance the interests of these people overseas. And so, while, and it's important to understand this, because you don't really need the CIA for Omidyar to spend his money in the Ukraine and to influence political events there. and to actually push against the Russians. What you need the CIA for, and why the CIA becomes important, is because what it's doing is it's tipping the balance in these contests, which go on anyway, because it's doing things that are illegal. And that's the only reason it's secret. And that's why everybody has to protect all these people who are working together, all these public service people, PR people, journalists, politicians, international experts, which generally means academics, who are, getting an extra $100,000 or $500,000 to go give scientific expertise or sociological expertise in this kind of mass movement that's going on of economics. And what the CIA does is it gets into the criminal underworld. It does things like blackmail. It does things like it'll set people up. It'll extort them. It'll get together. It'll break the laws in terms of setting up Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts or internet accounts that purport to be from Ukrainian citizens themselves, but are actually CIA operations that are moving people around and helping this mass organization to achieve its end. And the things that the CIA does are protected by all these other people. So they're all in it together, except that the CIA is doing the illegal part.
Well, we've seen the Rena crowd and the overthrow of in Iran, where they rented a crowd, but it seems like they'd like to, if they can, through their propaganda and media, whip up a genuine kind of organic movement to implement what they want to implement. But when that fails, they resort to bribery and blackmail and threats and illegal activities as well. But controlling the propaganda is essential. And we saw the National Endowment for Democracy, which is totally CIA, at the forefront in the Ukraine. But why does the CIA need so many NGOs as a middleman? What is their purpose for having 40 different non-government organizations?
They'll tell you, and I know this for a fact because I studied the CIA for so many years. And when the CIA moved into, for example, Vietnam, which was a foreign culture and a country where the United States hadn't been particularly active ever before, the first thing the CIA wanted to do, well, the first thing they always do is buy a lot of property. And they do this clandestinely so that they have places where they have safe houses, they have places to set up organizations later on. It's always best for them to buy real estate during times of crisis when prices are down. The CIA bought up huge tracts of property in Saigon in 1952, 53, and 54, during the First Indochina War, and all these buildings served as places where CIA officers could meet and plot, and also they could give them to other NGOs and stuff like that to operate. Then the next thing the CIA wants to do is to form relations with the Secret Services. And that's what they did in Vietnam. And you can be sure that's what they're doing in Ukraine as well. As soon as the politicians that the CIA backs are in place, the first thing those politicians do is reorganize the government so that the CIA can put a defense minister in place who's on their payroll. So that the CIA can put a minister of the interior who's in place, who's on their payroll. And this guy can then, the minister of the interior can then appoint police chiefs who are on the CIA payroll. And he can then appoint throughout the whole government CIA people then get put into place. But once they have done that, once they've got their property, once they have their puppets in place throughout the Ministry of the Security Services and the defense industry, then the CIA turns its attention to building a civil base. And that's exactly what the language is that they use. And to this end, they do things like they create the Lions Club or the Rotary Club. They create a Chamber of Commerce. They create a Foreign Relations Council. And all these civic organizations, if you study government and how rulers rule a society, this is how societies are ruled, through the ownership of property, through the having the proper people in government, security and defense industries, and through the control of the civic institutions. And then so the CIA puts its people in place. This includes having people like Lech Walesa in Poland running the unions. They have people running the unions who are on the CIA payroll. They have people in who run it their education system who are on the CIA payroll. And the reason they can do this is because they have so much money and they can get people jobs, and the Russians can't, because the Russians don't have enough money to compete with the CIA, because billionaires like Omidyar are giving them $500,000 a year. George Soros is giving them $1 million here, $5 million there. And this money goes in and builds these civic institutions. And the CIA illegally, again, this is the key, recruits foreign citizens. Sometimes they actually give them money. Sometimes people just do it on the promise of a brighter future. But the CIA is manipulating through human intelligence, which is called HUMINT, H-U-M-I-T. Its agents are actually out there recruiting people and putting them in place, signing little contracts with them that say, in exchange for working for us and advancing our interests here in the Ukraine, you'll get $10,000 or $100,000 into a Swiss account somewhere, and your life will be rosy. And that's what the CIA is doing. That's illegal. It's recruiting people. It would be like the Soviets coming here to the United States and recruiting people in our police forces, in our government institutions. It's illegal. You can't do it. You can't take money from a foreign intelligence agency and work against your own government. But that is what the CIA is doing in the Ukraine right now on a massive scale.
I wanted to ask you about that human intelligence. There's the Intelligence Community Directive 304. What is that?
Well, that came out in 2009. And if I suggest that anybody who wants to read it, it's only 4 or 5 pages long. And what it does is it spells out in very broad, simplistic terms what the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Defense, what they do for the National Director of Intelligence. Up until Bush became president, Bush the Lesser, in the 21st century, the position of Director of National Intelligence didn't exist. Before then, the person who directed all intelligence operations in the United States was the director of the CIA, who also had the job of Director of Central Intelligence. After 9/11, they switched it around. Our rulers switched it around, and the director of the CIA was no longer the head of all the officially in this position. The position had passed to the director of national intelligence, who's this guy Clapper right now, I believe. And this was to give more political control over intelligence operations, because in the United States, it's all about politics and money. It's as corrupt as it is any other place. And in 2009, the Director of National Intelligence issued this directive to spell out in very broad terms what the jobs of these three branches, the military, the CIA, and the FBI are. This directive becomes important because a person recently asked for a copy of it. And even though it's out and it's about, you can actually get a copy of the original 2009 version. This year's version has redactions, and they're cutting out the parts about what the CIA does. And that's because your rulers don't even want you to know what's unclassified anymore. It's bad enough that they don't want you to know what they consider a secret, like who the CIA officers are in the Ukraine, what their cover positions are, who their agents, who they've bribed and suborned in the Ukraine, and now who the names of those people that are now purporting to be the head of the Rotary Club in Kiev, who's actually a CIA agent, or the police chief in Donetsk or whatever it is, and who's actually a CIA agent. Those things are classified, and because they're illegal, you don't have a right to know about it. But the CIA now doesn't even want you to know what's unclassified about it, and that's how bad it's getting. The control of information it's again all about the control of information. They don't want you to know anything at all, because if you don't know what's going around, if you don't know what these things are, even in the simplest terms, they have power over you. And your rulers are very, very obsessed with controlling information and not letting you know what goes on. In the same way that Glenn Greenwald is obsessed with holding on to all his National Security Agency documents and only dribbling out what he wants you to see and not letting everybody see everything. Because once you get into power, once you get a position of power over other people, that power is directly equivalent to your ability to control the information upon which your power depends.
And to profit from it.
And well,
Yeah, he lets it all out. He can't get all the money.
and that's exactly the whole point to it, is because it's a kind of corruption. In fact, it is. It's not even a kind of corruption. It just is corruption. If people ask you,
Or his
if people
buddy
say,
Daniel
"Well,
Lewin.
how can our we're America? There's nothing corrupt in America." Well, if you can't ask your government what the CIA is doing, that's corrupt. I mean, it means that's the antithesis of democracy. That means you don't know. You don't have control. If you don't know what's going on, you don't have control over your own fate. And we have given up so much.
Every time they declassify something that was classified, we find out it had nothing to do with sensitive secrets or anything. It's just hiding illegal activity. That's it.
And it's all for money. Again, it's not so that you can make money or the average person in America can make money, and so that the ruling class can make money. Not the 99%, but the 1%. The CIA is not conducting its illegal activities around the world because it's a social service organization whose intention is to bring racial harmony to the United States and to make Palestinians and Jews hold hands and sing Pepsi commercial together. They're doing this on behalf of the people that have billions of dollars, like Pierre Omidyar and Bill Gates and George Soros and the people who rule us
They
and who.
are the secretive military wing of the plutocrats.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the joke is that they're called capitalism's invisible army, CIA. And
Gross.
it's not out there to make you. They're not camp. The CIA is not doing illegal things so that the minimum wage will go up, or so that bankers will be more careful about who they give mortgages to. They're working for the bankers. They want to be able to get individuals in Ukraine to stop investing their hard-earned dollars in anything that the Russians control. They want Ukrainians putting their money in a Morgan Stanley brokerage firm in Kiev. They want to suck all the money and life out of all the Ukrainians. That's what the CIA is there for. And they're very careful and cautious about who they recruit.
Well, they want to acquire
Unless, of
their
course, unless, of
assets
course,
too,
they're
the
black.
agriculture and oil and so on.
Excuse me?
They want to acquire their assets as well. The big agricultural businesses have moved into Ukraine. You've got they want things that have intrinsic value, property, farming,
That's what, yeah,
food.
and that's what I was saying to you in the beginning. I mean, it's the first thing they want is property. That's absolutely what they're going for. And again, to get back to it, the best way to drive prices down so that you can get a good deal on this property is to start a war. If the CIA can start a war in the Ukraine, it will have achieved the ultimate orgasmic goal of all the omidyars in the world, because a war in the Ukraine will drive prices down. People will want to flee the war zones. As soon as that happens, the prices go down. And who's going to go swooping in there to buy it up? Pierre
Most people.
Omidyar. The values of all these properties and everything will go down. So the CIA goes in and it destabilizes foreign countries with the intention in mind of driving prices down so U.S. corporations can go swoop in and scarf it up. It's that simple.
Well, you
And,
can
but,
see that
but again, it's illegal.
the other method, the IMF, engages in predatory lending on purpose to push people in debt to where they have to start selling assets to pay the piper. And when Ukraine wouldn't bite on that deal, or wouldn't bite on it anymore, and started taking maybe a different deal with the EU or the Russians, and were leaning towards the Russians, suddenly there's a coup d'etat. And it just makes me laugh that this NGO Center of United Action Center, excuse me, is talking about spreading and upholding democracy when the current government and Western Ukraine wasn't brought about democratically, they were appointed.
Sure, and it's of course, the history of the Ukraine is very interesting, and as just 10 years
Tragic.
ago, 10 years ago there was a what was called the Orange. It was one of the first color revolutions. The Orange Revolution in 2004 involved the same two guys.
With the dioxide poison scandal.
I don't think Omidyar was there at that time. But the same president, Ukrainian president, who was just ousted in a coup by the same guy who ousted him. I mean, and 10 years ago, they were already fighting with each other. But what's interesting is that the president now, and I'm sorry because I have trouble pronouncing his name, but the guy who is now the acting president of the Ukraine until they can have elections and sanctify themselves. His wife's an American. And she's part of a Ukrainian exile faction. And this Ukrainian exile faction has a lot in common with the Iraqi exile faction that lived in the United States, and that most of them lived in nice middle-class houses around Langley, Virginia, who, and the CIA keeps a stable of exiles from Iran, from the Shah, from his regime, from Iraq, every country in the world, Cuba, of course, well, their exile community owns Jeb Bush and Florida. The CIA has a stable full of these exiles, like this woman who's married to the current acting president of the Ukraine, who it can call upon when the crisis occurs, the crisis that the CIA has engineered. And these people come out of their stables in their homes in McLean, Virginia, and they fill the civic institutions. You know, like Diem in Vietnam in 1955, when the United States needed a president to advance democracy and development in Vietnam, it went to Marion Hall Cemetery and got Diem and put him in because he was a Catholic and he'd been with the CIA since its inception. And this is what happens. Another thing that the CIA does all around the world.
We saw in Cuba, for example, you mentioned Cuba, the CIA actually hired out to Mary Lansky and the mafia to do their dirty work there. And then we see the Ukraine, they're hiring out to a bunch of neo-Nazis.
Well, yeah, and this is, and this again, I was taking, as usual, the long, long road to get to my point, but the CIA has been operating in the Ukraine with Ukrainian exiles since 1949, since 1948, when they hired Reinhard Gehlen, who had been the chief spy for the Wehrmacht, the German army, against the Soviet Union. The CIA, after military intelligence had gotten Reinhard Gehlen in 1945. As soon as the CIA was formed, the CIA snatched him, Gehlen, out of the clutches of the United States Army intelligence, and put him in charge of CIA operations in Eastern Europe. They turned this Nazi guy and his organization, it was just called the Org, the Gehlen Org, and all his spies, all the old Nazi spies, all the spies that the Nazis had in the Ukraine and Poland and Latvia and all the Eastern European countries were still in place working for Gehlen, and then they went to work for the CIA.
They did the same thing in Japan. They got Yakuza and former Japanese spies to spy on the Chinese. They kept their own positions and their old jobs because they needed that intelligence, and they didn't have enough Chinese speakers or people who could infiltrate, and so they just kept the same Imperial Japanese who had been there during World War II.
Yes, and this is, again, all of this is very illegal. You're not allowed to do this in foreign countries. If the Ukrainians and the Japanese and the Russians and everybody else in the world was doing to the United States what the CIA is doing to everybody else in the world, Americans would be patrolling the streets with guns and shooting each other because out of fear that everybody was working for a foreign intelligence service. But this is what the CIA is doing all around the world, and it's been doing this in the Ukraine for generations. It has the grandchildren of Nazis on its payroll. It has people it has an incredible infrastructure of secret agents in the Ukraine that have been battling against Russia for 70 years. And it's been going on even longer than that. And the Russians are perfectly aware of this. They know most of these people's names. They know where they live. They know where the CIA has its safe houses. And yet, the only thing that the American people don't know, well, I should restate that. The American people don't know anything about all this. They just think that it's a rabbit pulled out of a hat. And the only reason that the American people think that this is a crisis just begun today or yesterday or last week is because journalists, it's because of the way the news is presented to people in the United States. And the news, care of journalists, care of their editors, care of their industry owners, their publishers, which now include Pierre Omidyar, I should add, don't want you to know all the illegal activities that they're engaged in. And so they, the owners, the Pierre Omidyars of the world, the Salzbergs who own the New York Times, the Moons who own the Washington paper, all these billionaires don't want you, they hired editors who will direct reporters in such a way that the reporters will never report on what the CIA is doing and all these kind of illegal activities that are going on, because
some of them are CIA.
The way journalism is constructed in the United States is nothing but a cover for the CIA and all the illegal activities of the United States. And anybody who thinks it's anything else other than a way of selling you SUVs you don't need, or pretty girls on Coke cans, or Levi's that are made in China in sweatshops, you're crazy. You don't even have a clue what's going on. There's no such thing as objective, truthful, factual reporting in the United States. Everything is delivered to you in a 9-second soundbite that's been carefully thought out ahead of time so that your only reaction will be, go buy something.
They're a mouthpiece for the plutocrats in the Pentagon, and if anyone's confused about that, just look at the reporting on Ukraine, or look at the reporting for the build-up to the second war in Iraq, or the first war in Iraq, how uniform all these three-letter networks were, and the reporting, which was total BS, and getting debunked online and getting debunked easily, and yet on television you had a completely one-sided story, and it was pro-war. It's pro-coup d'etat, of course.
Right. And so it's actually, in terms of trying to understand what's going on, it's a mistake to say that the CIA has infiltrated journalism. Journalism and in America and the kind of journalism it practices were in existence long before the CIA. The problem in this sense isn't that the CIA has infiltrated journalism. It's just the CIA is doing something for journalism. It's promoting the owners of journalism. It's not that they've infiltrated anything. They're working for the journalists. And so you got to see it in the proper perspective. And if you knew what the CIA was doing, if the journalists actually reported on it, and I mean journalists like CIA Moore Hirsch, who has written more words about the CIA in his life than any other person and has said less than any person I ever know who ever wrote about the CIA, it's just they're part of the same thing, the CIA and journalism. And you're never going to learn anything by reading what reporters dish out to you here in the United States. You can't, especially about the CIA, you can't go to a college in the United States, a university, and take a course in CIA 101.
No. I made a documentary film called Decades of Deception that went over a bunch of covert operations that have been busted wide open that the CIA were involved with or are completely in control of. But getting that out there is a drop in the bucket compared to mass media and how much we're fed in school and from television.
Yeah, our whole society, since its creation 240 years ago, has had as its goal a small group of very powerful, rich property owners ruling over and this continent eventually after they conquered this continent, taking over the world. And all the civic institutions, all the government institutions in the United States for 240 years have been organized to that purpose. So the fact that the CIA came along 70 years ago and started to do a lot of things illegally on an industrial basis has not changed the thrust of what the American empire and its front men, journalists and PR people. And I mean, if you look at that paragraph for the United Action Center, it just as easily applies to the United States as it does to something in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, and it's happening here. It's not just happening in the Ukraine. The people who control that United Action Center and are conducting its operations in the Ukraine are doing the same thing here in the United States. And if you think it's any different here than it is there, you're crazy. I mean, it's the same rulers. It's the same PR people, the same politicians, and they're doing the same things.
Yeah, they can cover very massive events. I mean, try to get one newspaper or one talking head, one makeup-wearing hairdo on TV to mention that Palestine is under occupation. It'll never happen.
No.
Never.
No, and it's a pipe dream to think it is. And yet, people really think that they have some kind of freedom here, you know? I guess it's all relative, but if you start to know a little bit, you realize you don't know very much at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the internet is making a small dent in it, but not enough, not yet. But I have hope in it anyway.
Well, this is an interesting thing that we can do here. And you know, I'm 64. And I remember when I started writing back in the early 80s, you know, it would take a month to get in touch with a person, to send them a letter, have them answer the letter, to be able to set up a time and a place to meet that was mutually convenient. And now we can Skype in a minute. And that whole month can be devoted to doing something else. However, one of the features of the CIA is that it's very big into science. Science and technology. And if you talk about information control, the control of scientific and technological information is very, very important today, as much as propaganda, as much as the control of literature and the kind of information that we have that's written down. Scientific information, the control of that is just as important. And just as the CIA is at the forefront of propaganda activities, the CIA and its science and technology division is also at the forefront of scientific and technological developments in the world. You go back to like MK Ultra program, and you can see examples of this. The CIA is at the forefront of aircraft technology and drone technology and weapons technology and any kind of scientific or technological advancement that serves the ruling class and makes money. The CIA is at the very, very forefront of that research and development. And that goes for the internet too. Back in the in the mid-1990s, I took a class in HTML, which is the hypertext language that the internet relies upon. And to my surprise, we were taught that all information was routed through Langley, Virginia. I mean, the super processors, and Putin recently came out and said that the internet was actually a CIA special project. And he wasn't kidding you. The CIA actually did develop the internet. And I remember when the advanced research project came out, ARPANET, which started helping us back in the early 1990s to access information and libraries through the original internet. It was all done under the Department of Defense, which was fronting for the CIA. So our internet capabilities.
I think it's a black swan.
Are a new kind of freedom, but at the same time, we enjoy this internet freedom by the leave of the CIA. If they want to, they can shut it down in a minute, and they have control over it, and they monitor every aspect of it. And if we actually were doing something and somehow threatened them, they would know about it in a nanosecond, and our activities would come.
Well, the FCC has already moved to destroy net neutrality in the U.S. And I see the internet freedom as kind of a black swan. You have all these commercial purposes. It's definitely people making money, selling things online, etc. But I'm not sure if they're really worried that there would be people who would become self-made journalists to start reporting on all the horrible things they do. They're not really worried about it.
The net neutrality subject that you mentioned is, you know, I mean, the moment is ripe for them now to start charging. Everybody's addicted to it. People check their Facebook account 400 times in a day. I went to the Glenn Greenwald site, The Intercept, and there were people who were spending the whole day, it looked like, on that site. And they had, I did a search for this one girl's name, Mona, and her name came up 70 different entries in one day. People are addicted to the internet now. And if Bill Gates or Pierre Omidyar want to start charging you $1 a day or $2 a day, it's like a drug. You're hooked, man, and now's the time for them to start charging you. So to think that anything that's happening on the internet right now is indicative of what's going to be going on in 5 years or even a year is another pipe dream. This whole fantasy that we're involved in right now, internet fantasy, is going to turn pretty nightmarish very soon.
That's pretty dark, but you may be right about that. At least they're charging people on the service end to provide it, and they're not happy about it. But they can completely control information if you can decide who is fast and who is slow. That's all it takes.
Well, if you were an entrepreneur, how many different ways do you think you could come up with thinking of making money off this?
True.
You don't think that there's people that have this all mapped out and people are really truly addicted and they're addicted to their iPhones and their texting and all that stuff and it's not too long before, you know, the first
like idle time is scary.
It's for free, man. You know, I mean, everybody knows that. You know, these guys are hanging out around the schoolyard, and they're giving you a free text, and they're giving you a free Skype, and yet they're nothing but drug dealers. I mean, that's what the CIA, that's what these people are. If they did it in China in 1848, what makes you think they won't do it here?
The new opium, huh?
We'll have to come back in 5 years and see if I'm right.
Well, I hope not, but I mean, I'm not arguing against you. I just don't want to believe it, you know, because it's dark.
You got to enjoy the good times because, in a way, this little bit of freedoms that we have right now, maybe the very last, because it doesn't take a weatherman to see which way the wind is blowing. And like we talked about this directive that was issued 5 years ago, 304, and which you can find online, unredacted, is now being classified.
I'll link it right below this talk. It's right below the talk.
So There's the civil liberties are diminishing. They're not increasing. Security port, the Supreme Court just said that nobody can challenge Obama's right to detain.
He detains without trial, or kills without trial.
Yeah, they can do anything they want. And it's not, it's all perfectly legal. And it's not going to, as there's diminishing resources, and the income equality gap keeps getting greater, these trends are not going to stop. They're just going to get worse.
Yeah, they had the largest corporate bailout in human history, and no one went to jail, and there were some protests, but nothing violent or anything, just people walking around with signs, and that was it, faded away. And that was after a $16 trillion bailout of these financial institutions, plus the Federal Reserve jumping in on that after that with even more money.
And
That's
this is a,
austerity for the rest of us.
yeah, and this is a perfect example. That is the perfect example of why we do not live in a democracy.
No, it's
Because
a
it wasn't,
plutocracy.
nobody had any, at the time, they did some polls, and 90% of the people in the country did not want the banks to be bailed out. These are decisions that were made by our rulers. And all the big decisions are made by our rulers. And all
And
the things
the
that are
mass media went
fine
with it.
are made by our rulers. And
Too
we
big to
have
fail.
control. So it's, and there's only, there's fewer and fewer rulers all the time, and more of us schleppers on the outside who are paying their bills.
Well, get out your pitchforks, people.
Absolutely. Guillotines, they're not high tech, but they work,
Yep. That may be the way to go. That's how it's usually it, the only successful revolutions are cutting the heads off of the plutocratic bastards that run society. So they teach you pacifism, but of course they teach you pacifism because it doesn't do anything. Well, thank you for coming on the show. We hit the hour mark. I'm out of time, but maybe in a couple months we'll have you back on again. It's not like the CIA is going anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Bye
Take
bye.
care. The document about 304 is linked below, and as always, I encourage everybody to get my ebook, The Separation of Business and State. It's a must-have. That is also linked below. Your choice of ebook format. $4.99, that's all, and it helps support these programs.